Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
Jan Gabarek, Egberto Gismonte, and Charlie Hayden recorded a memorable live jazz performance in 1981, but the tape sat for over 30 years before being released. We'll hear a long track from that album on the next Deep Threes, along with music from Moondog, Paco Rozicke, and Bash Nova. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Nico. I am homeschooling this year, and I'm 10.
I'm Lena. I am going to school at MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books. Books we love, books we what? I refuse to say books we hate, because that's a strong word.
Books we dislike,
bookish books thing. We're not so fond of.
Okay.
I've probably hated a couple books, but I just choose not to talk about them.
Oh.
Life's too short, you know? But we're here every week doing that, talking about books we love or books we're not quite as fond of. We're usually joined by our friends Amelia and Mashuda and Fatia and AJ, but they're not here this week. So Nico, Lena, and Emily here to talk about books. Hooray. Nico, do you want to get us started off today?
Sure, I'll do that. The book that I want to talk about is the first book from a series of unfortunate events. AJ actually gave it to me. It's called A Bad Beginning. It's about the Baudelaire twins and like their house caught on fire and their parents died and they're sent to live with someone called Count Olaf, who's like really mean, and he has like a plan to like have a play called The Marvelous Marriage where Violet plays the girl that he marries, but he makes it in a legal marriage. Like, there's an actual judge there playing the part of a judge. And the judge thinks that the document is only a prop, but it's actually one from the city hall. So she is, they think she's legally married, but Violet signed the document with her left hand. So it wasn't legal. And then Count Olaf was arrested, but someone turned off the lights and he and some of his accomplices got away. And yeah, that's where the book ends. I'm going to read the description. Dear reader, I'm sorry to say that the book you are holding in your hands is extremely unpleasant. It tells an unhappy tale about three very unlucky children. Even though they are charming and clever, the Baudelaire's siblings live lives filled with misery and woe. From the very first page of this book, when the children are at the beach and receive terrible news continuing on through the entire story, disaster lurks at their heels. One might say they are magnets for misfortune. In this short book alone, three youngsters encounter a greedy and repulsive villain, itchy clothing, a disastrous fire, a plot to steal their fortune, and a cold porridge for breakfast. This is my sad duty to write down these unpleasant tales, but there is nothing stopping you from putting down the book at once and reading something happy, if you prefer that sort of thing. With all due respect, Lemony Snicket. That's it. And why he wants to marry Violet is because once he's married to her, he has control of their entire fortune. Like, they lived in a mansion before it burned, and they have like a ginormous sum of money in the bank.
Yeah, he's so evil and he always gets away. It's so annoying. Yeah. But I guess it's good for plot development because, you know, you get to keep going with the series because he's always around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read those, Lena?
No. The closest thing that I read to being sad or something like that is just my book of Grimm's fairy tales. I love it very much.
Yeah, they have some similar bad luck in those stories, although yeah, often a happy ending. I really loved that series. I think I read all of them. I'm pretty sure I read all the way through.
Most of these books do not have any happy endings at all.
Yeah, I can't remember if it ultimately ends happily or not. I really don't know. I don't remember how the whole series ends.
I would guess it
has a happy ending.
It probably does, but maybe even not. Because it is a series of unfortunate events.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a show based on the book series. My friend watched it. I might be able to ask her if there is a happy ending.
Well, you could just read and find out.
Yeah.
I still have to finish that series. First, they made a movie adaptation that starred Jim Carrey as Count Olaf. And it was a movie that sort of combined the first three books and made them work together. And then they made the Netflix series, which I think there's two seasons, maybe. I don't remember if that finished the story or not. But I got stuck on, there was one episode that I wasn't liking as much, and then I stopped watching it.
I'm sorry, my internet was being weird. I fixed it now, though.
Welcome, Amelia.
Hello.
We were just talking about a series of unfortunate events. The Lemony Snicket series. Not actual series of unfortunate events. Although those happen too. Like 2020. Yeah, do you think you'll read more of them, Nico?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the first book. So if there's a series and I like the first book, then you can count on me to read the next part of the series.
Yeah, nice. I hope you enjoy them.
Yeah.
My favorite title of all of those, well, there's a couple, but I really like the Ersatz Elevator. And I will tell you, I learned the word ersatz from that book. So maybe you will too, if you don't know that word yet. How about Lena? What did you want to talk about today?
I don't think I shared this book on the radio, but Fruits Basket, it has an anime to go with it. And I don't know if this is based off of the anime or if the anime was based off of the book series. But I'll read the back. A family with an ancient curse and the girl who will change their lives forever. Toru Honda was an orphan with no place to go until the mysterious Soma family offered her a place to call home. Now her ordinary high school life is turned upside down as she's introduced to the Soma's world of magical curses and family secrets. Discover for yourself the secret of the Zodiac, and find out why Fruits Basket has won the hearts of readers of all around the world. And this is the old one, because I'm pretty sure they got like a new one.
Like a new edition?
Yeah.
An old edition.
So I'm talking about like they recreated the series, because along with them making a new one in 2019, like a new show, like kind of like a reboot, they also made a reboot version of the book series, manga series.
Is it the same stories and different art, or is it totally different? Or what?
Pretty sure it's the same. I only watched like 9 episodes with the old one, and watched like the rest with the new one. Like, I'm pretty sure it's the same.
What do you like about it?
I like the pictures. Okay, so I like how they throw a plot twist at you. So, yeah, I like that.
I've seen Fruits Baskets before, but the Fruits Basket, whatever it's called, I've seen it on shelves. But I thought it was a slice of life thing, so I never picked it up. But now that I know that there's fantasy elements in it, I might have to reconsider.
I think our friend Ingrid, that used to be on Bound by Books, was really into that, because I feel like I remember hearing about it in the past. But if it wasn't one of you, then it was probably Ingrid. And is that an ongoing series of manga?
To be honest, I'm pretty sure it's ongoing with the new one, but I'm pretty sure it's not ongoing with the old one, because this was made in like 2006, I think. My sister told me that she watched this when she was growing up, so like it was probably made in like the early 2000s. Or was it my mom?
Who knows?
Yeah,
sounds very interesting. The title's really funny to me. Just sounds funny. It's hard to say. It always seems like it's wrong, but it's not.
I laugh at the title because it's called Fruits Basket. It has nothing to do with fruits or baskets.
So someone could be really let down if they go in looking for that. They're like, do you know what I really want? A book about fruits or baskets or both. And then they're like, oh man, this one has none of it.
Yeah.
So Amelia, do you have a book you want to talk about?
I have some books I've been thinking about getting for Christmas. One of them might be my first experience really reading a book on a device, because it's not available in print. It's self-published. It'll be very interesting to get used to, but I really want to read it. It's called Transfigurations by an author called, I believe, Max Aaron. It's a pretty intense horror book, but these stories in particular are like exclusives. So I have no idea what they'll be about. He posts a lot of his stories online anyway, but these ones will be exclusive to the book, I believe. So no one will have read them unless they have read the book, which I think sounds interesting. I've listened to narrations of some of his stories in the past, and they're all pretty good, and they're all pretty terrifying. So, yeah.
I'm curious, since Amelia's going to be trying to read something in a digital format, I'm curious if Lena and Nico often read things in a digital format, or do you mostly read things in print?
Both. That's your answer. Because I have to read something for school still, and I read a bunch of digital stuff by will.
How about you, Nico?
I don't know, really. I don't really pay attention. I just read books, not any particular books.
So you don't care what format it is?
Yeah. Well, there's a thing in a Guinness Book of World Records that I'm borrowing from my sister's friend. There's a record that someone translated Moby Dick into emojis. So it's now called Emoji Dick, the new version. I wanted to check that out or buy it and see what it's like. Book full of emojis.
Seems challenging to read.
Yeah.
Or is it just select emojis, or is it all emojis?
It's all emojis. It's no words, just all emojis.
Probably be a quicker read than the original. Well, I had I had two books that I wanted to sort of shout out today. And they're connected by the fact that they're both books that I loved that now either have been made into a movie or TV series or are being made into a movie. So they're one of those ones that if you like to read the book before you see the show or the movie, you might want to check out. And so one of them is the His Dark Materials series by Philip Pullman. And it's a trilogy, although there's connected books to the trilogy. And the first book is called The Golden Compass. And it was made into a movie a number of years ago that was kind of got not so great reviews. And so they didn't make any more movies. But there's a new HBO series that's had the first season. And now it's the second season has just started. And I read the book so long ago that I, even though I've watched the first season of the TV series, I don't know how much it changed from the book or how much it's staying true to the trilogy in terms of like the first season being the first book. But I'll read the description of the first book so you get an idea of what the series is like. So this is for The Golden Compass, book one of the His Dark Materials series. Lyra is rushing to the cold far north where witch clans and armored bears rule. North where the gobblers take the children they steal, including her friend Roger. North where her fearsome uncle Azrael is trying to build a bridge to a parallel world. Can one small girl make a difference in such great and terrible endeavors? This is Lyra, a savage, a schemer, a liar, and as fierce and true a champion as Roger or Azrael could want. But what Lyra doesn't know is that to help one of them will be to betray the other. A masterwork of storytelling and suspense, Philip Pullman's award-winning The Golden Compass is the first in his Dark Materials series, which continues with The Subtle Knife and The Amber Spyglass. This series is very, very good. Very satisfying. It's great for readers who love fantasy, but it also has, it's sort of like in an alternate world where there's things that are familiar, but all of the characters have these demons that are like these sort of animal creatures that are like the physical embodiment of their soul. They're like connected to them and spend their lives with them. And when you're younger, your demon can change shape. So it might be one animal at one point, another at another time, but that at some point it sort of solidifies and becomes a set animal. But it's a very interesting series. I like the television series, or I guess it's a limited series. I don't know if it's actually, what are HBO shows called now? Are they still called TV shows? Hard to say. But I like that series so far. I actually even liked the movie, even though people really critiqued it a lot. I feel like with movie adaptations, I don't need them to be as good as the book. I'm pretty easygoing with them as long as they have interesting effects and the acting is decent. So I wasn't like heartbroken that they didn't continue the movies, but I found it entertaining. And then the next book I wanted to mention, which is another favorite of mine, is the first book in the Chaos Walking trilogy, which is called The Knife of Never Letting Go. And it's by Patrick Ness. And that, I believe, is going to be coming out soon. I don't know if it's coming out this year or next year, but it's been adapted to a movie that stars Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, and it's based on this book. And here's the description. A dystopian thriller follows a boy and girl on the run from a town where all thoughts can be heard and the passage to manhood embodies a horrible secret. Todd Hewitt is the only boy in a town of men. Ever since the settlers were infected with the noise germ, Todd can hear everything the men think, and they hear everything he thinks. Todd is just a month away from becoming a man, but in the midst of the cacophony, he knows that the town is hiding something from him. Something so awful, Todd is forced to flee with only his dog, whose simple, loyal voice he hears too. With hostile men from the town in pursuit, the two stumble upon a strange and eerily silent creature, a girl. Who is she? Why wasn't she killed by the germ like all the females on New World? Propelled by Todd's gritty narration, readers are in for a white-knuckle journey in which a boy on the cusp of manhood must unlearn everything he knows in order to figure out who he truly is. And this book was so good. I loved it so much. And it kind of ended on a cliffhanger, or it did end on a cliffhanger. And the books are pretty big, and I just wasn't ready to dive into book two. And so I've never finished the trilogy. So sometime I have to read book two. Maybe after the movie comes out, I'll read book two and then go from there. But it's really, really good, very exciting. What's interesting is because they can hear each other's thoughts, and that includes being able to hear his dog's thoughts. And as you might imagine from a dog, the thoughts are not especially deep. It's a lot of talking about like poop and stuff like that, or like squirrels. And, you know, it's just like what you might imagine goes through a dog's head. And so at the beginning of the book, I remember reading this and being like, oh my God, I can't with this dog. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this book with this dog talking. But then you like totally fall in love with this dog, like somehow. And you go on a fun journey with him and Todd and the girl whose name I'm forgetting, who they stumble across, who's the other main character of the story. But yeah, so I don't know for sure when that movie's coming out. I just saw that there's a trailer being released soon for the movie. And at first when I heard, it's called I think the book is called The Knife of Never Letting Go, but I think the movie might be called Chaos Walking, which is the name of the series. And it's interesting, when I heard about the casting for it, I was confused because I felt like the characters in the book read like, you know, they read like teenagers or young teens. And then they cast Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, who are both adults. But I saw a little teaser for the trailer and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how movies can make like adult actors look like young people. So, and I like both of those actors. So I hope it's good. But yeah. So those are two favorites of mine from the YA world. Highly suggested. Yeah. Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about before we go?
I'm probably going to be rereading The Great Gatsby for school.
Oh, yeah?
Ironically, not for American literature, but for psychology. I have to psychoanalyze a character from media, and I chose Jay Gatsby, one of the main characters of The Great Gatsby. And so that should be fun. So I'm going to be rereading that, so you can expect me to get obsessed with that book again pretty soon.
Nice.
So, you know how you mentioned how when for the first book, it's called The Golden Compass, right? So, like, you mentioned how their little demon thing can turn into, like, a animal. And so that kind of makes me think of, like, how it's basically kind of saying you can become a different person when you grow up. Just become that person. And that's just what that made me think of when you said, like, the animal could change into anything, but it'll be done changing when you're, like, a grown-up adult person.
Yeah, I think it might even be specifically tied to, like, when you hit puberty, that, like, your demon sort of solidifies into a certain creature. But it's interesting watching the series. They did a really good job with the special effects for the creatures. So you'll see like the adult characters all have these, you know, animal sort of sidekick. Their demons are different animals that stay the same, but then there's others that shift around, and they may have like one form that they're more commonly in, but then when the character's under distress or has something in particular going on, it might shift to a different creature. Does anyone else have another book they wanted to talk about or anything else they wanted to share?
Yeah, I have another book.
Great.
It's the sixth book in the series. It's called The Test of Time. It's another Geronimo Stilton book. It's about him and his friend, Professor Von Volt, who, like, he's an inventor, and Geronimo Stilton like goes on an adventure as always. And before he starts, the professor sends the time machine to a bunch of different places to see if it actually works. And then when it comes back, there is five different people from history come back with the time machine, which includes a Triceratops from the Cretaceous period, Helen of Troy, Attila of the Huns, and then there's Charlemagne, I think. I don't know how you pronounce his name. And then Christopher Columbus, and Geronimo, and his cousin Trapp, and his nephew Benjamin, and Benjamin's friend Bugsy Wugsy, and Geronimo's sister, and all the people who they picked up from the different places. Gone, a very long but fun adventure to take the different people from history back.
People and dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's funny that a dinosaur is mixed in.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a blue baby Triceratops named Tops.
Nice. That was probably my favorite dinosaur as a kid, just saying. Not specifically a baby blue one, but Triceratops. It was all right. Oh, you're showing us the book.
That's aww,
so cute.
That's Helen of Troy. That's Attila.
Oh, they're also rats.
That's Charlemagne. And that's Christopher Columbus. Yeah. They're also rats.
Is the dinosaur a rat?
No. The dinosaur is a dinosaur.
Okay.
Oh, and when they go into the different times, they like dress into the normal style. And they can speak the language. So when they go into the Cretaceous period, they're dressed like dinosaurs and they speak dinosaur language.
What does a dinosaur dress like?
Well, it's just a costume.
Oh, okay, so they dress up as if they were dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I want a dinosaur costume. Very nice.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I just finally watched the third Bill and Ted's movie. So Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out when I was a kid. So I definitely saw that when I was a kid and then watched a few times throughout my life. And then I hadn't ever watched the second movie where they die, spoiler alert, go to hell and have to get back. So I just finally watched that recently. And then just this past week, I watched the third one where they finally have to play the song that unites the world in music. And your book reminded me of that because they travel through time and kind of collect figures from different time periods. Although in the third one, in addition, the reality itself is like falling apart because they need to write the song that unites the world and like saves reality. And so there's just people from different periods of time that just keep hopping into the present day from out of nowhere and everything's going bonkers. But then the daughters of Bill and Ted travel through time to find musicians to form the band to play with their dads. To create the perfect song.
So, like, they're dead while they're doing it?
No. Oh, because of the second movie? Somehow they undie. I don't really remember.
It's like a second life, like reincarnation?
I think that somehow they managed to not be dead because of time travel in the second one. So they're alive and well in the third one.
It's kind of like how people think a cat has 9 lives. They die once, they live again. They die a second time, they live again. Goes on until they die the 9th time, and then they're completely dead.
And then there's Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a good week and reads lots of great books and enjoys some time travel, perhaps. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Happy reading!